Our scheduled preacher for this morning, Pastor Paul Fries, was not able to be here because of a scheduling conflict, so bear with me as you have to hear me once again this week. Our text for today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to young Timothy, the pastor, the sixth chapter, and then verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. I thought Christianity was supposed to be easy. I thought getting to heaven through what Christ has done was supposed to be easy. Well, yeah, it is. Our Lord Jesus has taken care of all of it for us by going to the cross to atone for every one of our sins and make complete payment for us, giving us his perfect record before God. Simply by believing in him, we have that wonderful gift. We think about the story of the jailer at Philippi who came trembling before Paul and Silas and asked that greatest question in the world, what must I do to be saved? They didn't give him a whole list of things to do, difficult stuff. They didn't talk about a fight. They didn't present to him all these challenges he'd now have to overcome. They just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How much simpler can you get? Christ has taken care of it all. Believe, just trust in him. Paul speaks about our getting to heaven by God's grace as just a gift, a present. You don't think about a present as something you strive and fight and struggle for. So what is all this about a fight? Jesus says to us, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But this gift that we have of going to heaven through Christ, it's all been taken care of for us, this easy present we've been given, as we carry it now with us in our hearts out into the world, that's the fight. That's the battle that is being discussed so often in Scripture. Because we walk out into a world that does not want us to keep it, that does not want us to possess it, and especially to enjoy its final rewards. And so this is where this great battle must be fought. Jesus said to his disciples, who were already believers in him, strive to enter the narrow door. You see, being converted to believe in Christ is not where the fighting ends, it's where it begins. Striving to enter the narrow door to heaven is not just referring to the entrance into the Christian faith, but the very nature of that faith itself is nothing but striving. One commentator said it this way, without fighting, striving, and competing, victoriously competing, there is no true Christian. You see, when you and I are not converted, if we are not converted, we are sitting in the lap of the devil like a little three-year-old girl with a coloring book and a glass of poisonous Kool-Aid, just enjoying ourselves, completely under his care. When our sins don't bother us, when we're not troubled by that, when there's no fight with our sinful flesh anymore, we're sitting on his lap, very comfortable, very easy. There's no struggle, there's no fight. This is a very easy place to be. But when God the Holy Spirit comes along and plucks you from the lap of the devil and tears you from his arms and now places you in the arms of Christ by grace and makes you a member of the kingdom of light, now the fight begins because the devil is angered to have lost you. The devil is angered to have seen you taken from him. And he now fights and rips to try to regain custody of you. This is the fight. St. Paul calls it the good fight. The word for fight here, by the way, is a Greek word from which the roots of our word agonize come from. That's the kind of strife and striving that is being discussed. I think St. Paul probably likes sports. He frequently makes little references in his letters to some of the athletic events of his day. And he often uses the imagery of an athlete training himself or herself to be ready for competition and to push ahead and to strive to make sure that you gain that goal. And we see examples of that sometimes displayed for us, even in the professional sports world. In 1997, I remember in the NBA Finals Game 5, Michael Jordan, the great basketball player of that era, Michael Jordan was sick with the flu, but he knew his team needed him, and it was a crucial game. And so he showed up and he played sick. And people still talk about it today. There's a special page for it on Wikipedia that he fought and battled even through his illness to help his team ultimately win that victory. We sometimes see runners who just expend so much energy trying to make sure they win a race that they collapse once they cross the finish line. We hear coaches sometimes having t-shirts printed or things in the locker room that say, "Leave it all on the court," or "Leave it all on the field." This is the type of imagery that Paul is drawing upon for us to understand about how we approach taking our faith out into the world and making sure that we ultimately get to heaven with that beautiful hope we have in Christ. The real danger that we face is when we no longer feel a struggle with the world. When there's no longer a fight with the world. We are entering an era right now where it appears that very dark times are ahead for people who love Christ and love His Word and want to confess that truth in this generation. The world is waiting right now with shovels in hand to bury the Christian church. There are people today that are suggesting that it is child abuse to teach your children to believe that you came into this world by the way God describes in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. There are young people today who have professed to be Christians before, but who are now falling away in groves because they just can't take the heat anymore of standing up for what Scripture says about matters of sexual morality. Some churches and church bodies have even chosen to compromise with the world, if you will, to take a path of nonviolence. It is a path of doctrinal and moral pacifism. And there are many church bodies today that claim to stand beneath the flag of Christ, but they have absolutely no desire to fight in the battle, and they've given up. And with such cowardly hearts, they truly are not part of this army. Do not be fooled. The true Church of Christ has always been and always will be a church militant. It is a church that fights. It strives with the world. It has been a place of battle throughout its history. The attacks may come in different ways on different parts of the walls of her fortress. There are possibly different weapons used against her throughout time, but the nature of the war is always the same. Expect nothing less if you belong to Christ. Our very champion himself bears the scars of war even now on his own body. But let's not forget who we are standing with. The one who stands with us holds the keys to death and Hades. The one we are standing with is able to stand up in a little boat and calm an entire storm. The one we are standing with is capable of stopping a funeral procession and having a teenager's dead body rise back to life. That very one who even now waits to someday raise your body back to life from the grave and to give you a glorified body in the mansions above. He's the one that says to us, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth." So yes, the fight may be challenging for us. But thank God, the kingdom ours remaineth. Amen.